We are so happy to welcome to the show John Spytek, the Browns' Director of College Scouting. And let's see, the last time we talked with you, we were in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, so this is your second appearance. Welcome back.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks for having me.
All right, and we're getting ready for the Combine. You're heading there, of course, earlier this week, along with John Sandusky, the Browns' Director of Player Personnel. And pretty much there's a lot that I'd love you to share with people who don't know the real finer behind-the-scenes details of this thing, because – yeah, it gets rolling later in the week, like Thursday, I guess, when things really take hold. But there's a lot that's going to go on between the early part of the week and then.
Yeah, we Sando and I leave a short four-hour drive down to Indy. And then Wednesday morning, we have our first meetings. We use a scouting service that kind of gives us the initial player reports on all these kids. And
Okay. The
first thing we'll do is sit in and listen to them discuss all the underclassmen. They'll go through character information. They'll give us their assessment as the value of the player
right
on the field. And so we'll sit there in those meetings and take notes and gather all that information and then kind of distribute it to our scouts as well, so they can kind of use that information to check up on the kids, any new background information that we need to touch on.
Now, that's important because you've worked with seniors, I mean, guys who are already draft eligible from the Senior Bowl. The underclassmen come into the picture now, so this is important to kind of get this update right on a lot of these younger guys that you didn't have all the information on previously.
Yeah, you know, during the fall, we try to keep tabs on guys that we think are likely to come out, but, you know, until the NFL officially declares them eligible, it's always sometime in the middle of January. We don't do a ton of work on them. So at this point in the year, I mean, we're trying to, I mean, in a sense, we're playing catch up on these kids. We've right. spent 6 months on the seniors, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got these juniors that come out in January, and there's a lot of information. The same work needs to be going in to all those players. So this helps the process. We get this information, give it to our scouts, and they can use it to check up with their sources at the schools. And you know, confirm whether or not this is an issue. This is an issue. This kid's a great kid. So on and so
right.
forth.
Right. And do you find yourself getting a lot of? First of all, what are we talking about in general numbers of these underclassmen? How many guys will you be discussing?
I think there was 65 this year, which
okay.
was a record. Last year, I think it was 54. So 65 this year.
And that's 65 out of how many overall at the Combine kids are going to be there?
Well, not all those 65 will be at the Combine,
okay.
but we get player reports on all of them. There's 327 players going to the Combine
total,
this year.
Okay. But they won't all the players you'll discuss as underclassmen may not necessarily have gotten invitations.
Most of them are there. Some
okay.
of them
okay.
some of them are not there, but most okay. of them will be present at the Combine this weekend.
So that's a pretty lengthy session to cover
yeah,
all that detail.
Yeah, 4-hour meeting or something yeah. like that on Wednesday morning
okay.
to get things kicked off.
Now, beyond that, when the people who do what you do and who do what John Sandusky does and the general managers and so forth get together additionally, you will talk about players who aren't who are going to play different positions potentially in the NFL, or guys who worked at one spot in college that you want to see at another spot in the NFL, and this would relate to the kinds of drills they're going to go through at the Combine.
Yeah, we can, in a meeting we have on Wednesday as well, we can request to have, if a guy was a 4-3 defensive end in college and he's working with the defensive lineman at the Combine or in that position group, and we see him as a SAM because he's an undersized guy and he's just not going to be big enough for us to play 4-3 or a 4-3 defensive end for us, we can request to see him do the linebacker drills. Same thing with a lot of the 3-4 teams. They look at those same, you know, smaller defensive ends, and they say, well, that guy doesn't fit in our system unless he's an outside backer. So they'll request to have him do the position drills with the linebackers. And you get a chance to see the kid move around. You get a chance to see his athletic ability. And it's just a small window into what the kid is. But, you know, it gives you a chance to see him try to do some of the stuff that he's going to be required to do for us out in space, catching the ball, those kind of things.
How many guys will that usually entail that you deal with that are these – whatever we call them, tweeners, that are guys that are multiple position players?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be guessing they're probably 15 to 20 guys okay. at the Combine that, you know, tight end to fullback. And then the biggest one is DN to outside linebacker, whether it's like a SAM traditional for us or a 3-4, you know, stack guy or a guy on the line of scrimmage.
Generally, do all you guys who do what you do see it the same way in terms of wanting to see that, as you say, that drill at a different position? Or are there cases where you might not have made such a request, another team has, and, hey, that's interesting to us too, and vice versa?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, we wouldn't consider to do that for. Sometimes we sit there and be like, well, what are they asking to see that guy for? He can't do that. But it's their prerogative. I mean, if they want to try it out, it's, you know, that's up to them, and we'll sit there and watch.
It's just more information.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing's about gathering information, as much of it as we can get.
John Spytek, the Browns Director of College Scouting, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, another part, and this one is, I think they're like the cool little traditions. These are the real behind-the-scenes things that people don't know, too, and that is where people sit inside Lucas Oil Stadium for the 40-yard dash. The prime spots, and I've been in there many a time, and before that the RCA Dome, but way up high, either in a suite or in the upper stands. But where you guys are as personnel people, there is a very concentrated place to get a bird's eye or a key view of the 40. Tell me about how that process works, because you don't just sit down and claim your seat there.
No, the combine handles that too. We actually draw out of a hat number rows 1 through 32. Okay. You know, and whatever you draw, that's the row you have. So if you draw row 8, you're in row 8. Now you are allowed to, you know, if one team feels like I like timing from the top, row 31, and you're in row 8.
Okay.
And the other team wants to be closer, then you can make trades and stuff like that.
Trade rows?
If you can't find a trade partner, you're stuck in whatever row you draw.
Do you get like a tag or something that's a little like something that has your row number on it?
Nah,
literally?
You just pick it out of a hat. It just says row 8 on it.
Yeah, so it's a little just a piece of paper or something.
Yeah, and then the combine asks what number you drew, and you say 8, and that's the Cleveland Browns for the week, row 8 for the 40.
And no one messes with this, right? I mean, you guys don't like, you know, say, oh, no, we actually drew row whatever. And you want, I mean, nobody plays games with it. Or do they?
I've never seen that. I mean, you got to honor whatever you drew.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, scouts are pretty particular and anal with stuff like that. So if you're sitting in somebody's row, they'll tell you to get lost and find your row.
And how much, what's the camaraderie like? I just know it's such a competitive thing. We see funny things sometimes go on the field, but in different areas in this very competitive game. But how competitive does it get with fellow scouts and teams, and it's all about getting that edge over somebody else. Give me some stories from that. I mean, what goes on?
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's a good old boys network a little bit. I mean, we all see each other a couple times a year, and in some sense, you know, our area scouts that live out area, I mean, they see these guys, their fellow area scouts, more often than they see, you know, most of the other coworkers, myself or any of the other area scouts. So a lot of them become really good friends with each other, and I don't have any particular stories to share, but you know, there's the competitiveness is not lost. I mean, that's, I think, at the forefront of everyone's mind all the time. I mean, we're trying to win, you know, whatever information that we get that we think is very valuable. I mean, that's not going to be shared. I mean, that the expectation is that stays in house, but
sure,
at the same time, I mean, you know, we're all kind of in it together a little bit and kind of working the same job, and so there's definitely a lot of good friendships that you make with guys on other teams.
You make appointments with the players you're going to spend time with. This, unlike when we talked with you at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, those sessions where you talked with players and got to know them a little bit, those happened fairly randomly and they were pretty loose. This thing is a scheduled where at the combine, 15 minutes you're carving out, and you put in a literal request list with the organizers of the combine, right, of the X number, and tell me how many that is, players you want to meet in the course of the time you're there.
Yeah, you can request up to 60. And so we submitted that list to the combine last week. And with those 60, you're guaranteed to get all those guys.
Okay.
They then make the schedule, and you're allowed, you know, 15-minute increments with each player. It's very well organized. It's at the Crown Plaza. We have a hotel room that we kind of turn into a meeting room. And
a Browns assigned room.
Yep, Browns assigned room. You know, and we'll have, you know, a certain amount of people in there. We have a cut up of the kid, video cut up with them. We go through plays, we ask them questions, but we also use to get to know the kid a little bit better, some personal information, and you know, it's just a general get to know this kid better. And like I keep saying, just gather information. But you know, it's a long kind of can be a long night. It's from 6 to 11 o'clock a lot of nights, and 15-minute increments. And
sure.
And you know, sometimes there's no breaks. Sometimes it's the horn goes, the kid comes in, the horn blows, and the next guy's up.
And that's great that you brought that up. The horn to which you refer is literally an air horn that sounds when that 15-minute period is up, and your session has to end. That guy moves on to his next appointment.
Yeah, I mean, some teams hold them a little bit longer, and if we hadn't got through our interview, then sometimes we'll hold them for a minute or something like that. But, you know, it's the process flows, and it actually works pretty well. I mean, you don't really lose out on too much valuable time with stuff like that. But it's actually a pretty well-organized process.
And this is where I heard maybe some of the problems came into play, where those interviews, at least before maybe they got into the air horn process, is that there were literal, I heard of like fist fights between scouting assistants maybe, or, you know, people helping out. They wouldn't necessarily be in at your level, but the younger people helping out would be battling each other to get player X to a session with a team.
Yeah, and then I guess when they got there, there was no time frame. So you could get, you know, if you wanted Joe Smith,
yeah,
and you got him, and 31 other teams are waiting for him, and you could hold him for an hour if you want. So we have this guy at this time, this guy at this time, and as soon as the horn blows, he's going from the Browns to the Packers or whatever it is. It's all predetermined.
We got more coming up with the Browns Director of College Scouting, John Spytek, on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. And we're back with John Spytek, the Browns Director of College Scouting, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, when we get into the nitty-gritty of what the combine allows you to do and allows you to look at, it is not, as everybody well knows now, it's not a football drilling type of situation, at least in the classic sense of players wearing pads and wearing helmets. And basically what they did at the Senior Bowl, where they were dressed for football, practicing football. This is a lot of athletic drills and a lot of specific stuff to see certain types of athleticism, speed, agility, strength, so forth, and I guess reaction time and all those things that are related to football. But so when you are judging positions, first of all, give me a blanket of the type of assessments you make when you're watching these T-shirt and shorts drills out there.
Yeah, I think it's always important in our job to see these kids in person, you know, and whether it's at practice during the fall, whether it's at a game, sometimes guys look a lot different on film than they look in person. Size, speed, components, a lot of factors. But I think it's just good to see these kids run around and do athletic things in person. You get to see them compete. Mm-hmm. You get to see who's kind of up for the challenge. I mean, it's a big stage. They know they're on a big stage. They know they're on national TV. They know that, you know, quite literally, there's millions of dollars at risk for some of these kids. They know all that. And some of them you see rise to the occasion, and some of them you see kind of that opportunity falls by the wayside for them. And I think that's a little bit of a window into some of these kids. I mean, obviously, our goal here is to win Super Bowls. So we're trying to find kids that in any competitive occasion rise to the top. And, you know, I'm not saying that because a kid goes to the combine, he performs well. Because it's a big deal. The kid's, you know, going to help you win Super Bowls. But, you know, it's we always talk about the process that we have here. And this is, you know, I know I keep saying it in all these interviews I do with you, but this is just a kind of a small part to the process.
Yeah, it's all building to one puzzle that you're going to get there. These are pieces or sections of it that you're putting together.
Yeah, absolutely. And the process is, you know, laid out for us by Tom. I think it's been something that's been around for a long time. It's kind of been tried and tested. And, you know, it's our job is to go execute the process, and this is a big part of it. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't go. We wouldn't spend all the time and money it takes to go to the combine and evaluate these kids.
And you will – so you'll sit there and, for instance, let's start with the most obvious highlight position, quarterback. When you see these guys do the actual throwing of the football, I mean, they're going to run their 40s. They're going to do those other things that may or may not factor all that heavily into the quarterback picture. But it is that moment of truth when they're throwing the football. So if you could give me just a breakdown of what you want to see this quarterback do, the areas you study and put your comments on.
Yeah, this is a kind of a harder deal, you know, because they don't have much of a rapport with these wide receivers they're going with. And, you know, the routes they're running are pretty basic. I mean, unlike the Senior Bowl where there's some timing and some stuff, this is, you know, the wide receiver's going to run to this cone, he's going to turn around, he's going to run a comeback or a hitch or an out or something like that.
Okay.
I think with the quarterbacks, we're looking for athletic ability in their drop. You know, what kind of foot athlete are they? Is it easy for them to get depth? You know, a lot of these kids, you know, this will be one of the first times you see them actually have to at least simulate taking a snap from under center. A lot of these kids just stand in the shotgun now. So, it's something we have to evaluate. Obviously, we look for arm strength. You know, you can see a kid in this, how well does he throw the ball? Especially when you know it's guy after guy after guy, you can get a good feel for where arm strength stacks up against the rest of the guys. And then, you know, always accuracy. You know, is this a kid that's throwing the ball to the receiver in a place where he can catch it and run with it? Is this a guy who, you know, is throwing the ball to a receiver, but he's got to work to catch it? You know, he's got to stop his route. He's got to, you know, stop his momentum. He's got to adjust. Or is this a guy who's just spraying the ball all over the place?
And the finer points of his release point and how quickly he gets the ball out, are those things you really focus on, or is that something you'll not necessarily defer, if that's the right way to put it, but your quarterback coaches and the other people who are going to coach the position, you'll take their input on that, or is that, do you form your own opinions on that as well?
No, you know, I think we all have, you know, we'll sit down with all the scouts again, we'll sit down with all the coaches, and we'll go over everything. And then, you know, the way I always try to look at it is just kind of in total. You know, you just kind of watch the whole thing and kind of see what you think of it. It's hard when you're sitting 40 yards away to really see exactly, you know, where his arm is, you know, where his release point is and all that. You can get a general idea, but that's what they film everything. So that's what the film's for. So I think I'm always, at least me in particular, when I'm watching guys, it's always kind of like, what is the total thing? You know, and in that you're watching maybe 20 other little things. You kind of see, trying to see the whole picture, and then at least my feeling is I get a really good feel for a player when I do something like that.
Wide receiver. I know it's simple to say, he's got to catch the ball. Oh, great. But, again, let's take it, if you can, the same type of way you break it down. What are those finer points of a wideout that he can show you, again, in Indianapolis that can give you a good feel for him?
Yeah, obviously, you know, no shoulder pads, no helmets, stuff like that, but just really – you can really see how good of an athlete some of these kids are. You know, a lot of them, again, with the offenses the way they are in college, they don't run a lot of pro-style NFL routes. You know, they just don't do them. And so they'll get asked to do that stuff. You know, can a kid sink his hips? Are his feet really quick through the break? Does he have a little bit of, you know, acceleration from his break point to separate from man-to-man defenders? And then can he catch the ball? I mean, and can he catch the ball when there's pressure on him? I mean, they put him through some tough drills, and it's a bit, like you said, it's a very basic concept of for a wide receiver, can he catch it? But some of these kids, they go there and they drop five or six balls in, you know, a short period of time, and that's that's an issue.
And you're allowing for, as you said a little earlier, the fact that there is not that great familiarity or chemistry with the quarterback. So it's vice versa. The quarterback doesn't really know his receivers all that well at the combine, but the receivers don't always know how the guy throws the rock either.
No, I mean. One example would be when they throw a straight go route. You know, the wide receiver just takes off and runs vertical, and the quarterback throws it to him. And, you know, if that's your teammate, then you know what's this kid's speed. And the good quarterbacks can lay it in there accordingly, where, you know, the quarterback might think this kid's fast and he throws away out there and the kid's not that fast. Or the wide receiver thinks the kid doesn't have a very strong arm, so he doesn't run real hard, and next thing you know, the ball's over his head. I mean, there's little things like that.
I think back to last year, Cam Newton, who – as I recall, didn't have a particularly great combine the way he threw the football, and then we take into those factors about knowing the receivers there, so on and so forth. But he did go ahead and throw, didn't prevent him from being the top overall pick, and certainly didn't prevent him from having a very strong rookie year.
No, I mean, it's, you know, obviously everybody understood that Cam came from a different kind of offense, and this was a challenge for him. And I think it kind of, you know, the fact that he didn't do maybe as well as he wanted to do, and then he still was the first pick and went on to have a great year, that kind of lends itself to this is just a part of it. But if you're going to go and evaluate a kid based on his combine performance, that's just not very smart. You know, there's so many other factors at play here that aren't right there for the, you know, for your eye to see. But
is it hard when it gets to, how difficult is it when it does get to those O-line drills? I mean, I think back to Mobile, and at least they're in pads, they're in helmets. When they were doing those one-on-one drills, you felt like, I mean, you were watching an actual football practice overseen by NFL coaches, in the case of the Vikings and Redskins staffs that were handling the North-South squads there. But this is going to be very different. So linemen are going to do some things, but is there something usable that you take from the lineman drills there at the combine?
Yeah, I think it all just keeps coming back to athletic ability. Okay. I mean, you're not looking for the physical aspect of offensive line or really any of these kids, you know, in terms of contact, how strong are they on contact and stuff like that. You know, but you can – kid, these offensive linemen run around, they put them through drills, they make them run downfield, and, you know, that simulates game. You know, throw a screen pass, throw a draw, the linemen have to get out in space downfield, adjust to, you know, the linebackers and DBs in space and try to make a block. And so, again, you get to see how well these kids move their feet. Can they bend their knees? Can they change directions? Are they out of control? Do they have good body control? That's kind of what we're looking for.
John Spytek joining us. He is the Browns Director of College Scouting. And, John, you as a group compare notes. I know you each individually do your thing, and I watched you work at Mobile. You sat together as a Browns group and then gather later on. But is it a little more structured at the Combine, too, where you do have nightly or daily meetings, or are you still all separate because you got to chase down those individual 60 guys? Not chase them down, but have those sessions as well.
Yeah, it's a little more separate. We have a lot of people doing a lot of different things.
Okay.
You know, during workouts or during the 40 times, we'll have, you know, scouts assigned to time the 40, to the 20, to the 10. We'll have guys recording the heights and weights as the kids are getting measured. And then we'll have guys down there watching the bench press. And all this is kind of going on simultaneously. So we can't all be together like we can at the Senior Bowl, where there's just kind of one thing going on. There's a lot going on here. And then, you know, at night when we have the 60 formal interviews, there's also informal interviews, which our coaches do, our scouts do. So they're over there doing that stuff at the same time. So we don't have like an opportunity to sit down like we did at the Senior Bowl practices and whatnot. But, you know, we have a great group of scouts, a bunch of really good people that work hard, and we have a good rapport with each other. So we're always kind of around each other,
right,
talking about what did you see today, what did you think of this guy, what was your interview like with this guy. And so we don't necessarily need that formal sit down to have that information change hands. I mean, we see each other. We're friendly with each other, obviously, and so we get a chance to. I have a pretty good feel for what's going on with those guys as the week goes on.
And then what will happen next when this all ends? You leave the last thing that goes on there. I guess it's usually defensive backs, and that's next Monday, if I'm not mistaken, right? And
Tuesday.
Tuesday. So that'll wrap it up for the combine, because the positions happen on different days, and then people come and go, right? Coaches start leaving, personnel people might leave as time goes on, but you're there right to the very end. Then what happens when you come back from Indianapolis? Give us a sense of what the calendar going forward is toward the draft in terms of your job and what the whole scouting group is doing.
March is the big pro day, the big college workout month, campus workouts. So while we're there, we kind of keep track of who's doing all the work at the combine, which kids are running the 40, doing all the position drills, doing all the testing that they should be doing. Those guys that don't do it, we make a mark, and then, you know, we make a mark on our sheet of paper that we're recording on, and then we make sure we go to the campus workout for those kids, so we get to see them do this stuff as opposed to just take the numbers. So that my first week back from the combine will be going through who worked out, who didn't, what pro days do we really need to hit, and then kind of coming up with a calendar for that month for where our guys need to be and when they need to be there.
And then you're just continuing to pour all of this information into the big hopper as you prepare for the draft in April.
Yeah, absolutely. We monitor all the numbers from the pro days that come in, guys that ran fast, guys that had, you know, exceptional workouts, and then, you know, we'll go back and take another peek at them if need be. We start to get our pro scouts a little bit involved in the process. They'll look at some of those guys that kind of spring up through, you know, really, you know, the guy ran 4.31. He verticaled 41.
Right.
He only had 19 catches this year, so he was really under the radar. But let's make sure that we know this guy, you know, and see if he's got value as a late draftable guy, or if he's be a great free agent, or, you know, if he was just a workout warrior.
John, this is great stuff. Could talk about this forever, and we will as the offseason continues to go on. But thank you so much for all your time and help here.
All right, Vic. Thanks for having me.
He is John Spytek, the Browns Director of College Scouting, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.